sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
We're looking studious today, both of us with our glasses on.
We're old, dude. We're talking about dyeing our hair before the call.
Dude, people don't understand, man. They just don't get it.
We grew old together on this podcast, man. Like, when we started. Dude,
when did we start? Like, 11, 12 years? I don't even know how long ago it was.
It was... Wasn't it 2013?
I don't know. Is that when it was? I honestly don't remember.
Yeah. So, like, and it was fall of 2013. So, we are now in 2025. Yeah. So, is that 12 years in? My math is bad. That's 12 years, isn't it?
12 years.
We've been telling you guys have been running for 12 years for at least 2 years now. So, you know, I was about to say 14. My math is so bad.
Well, COVID was in the middle of that. So that was like an extra 5 years right there.
And we took a break.
You took a break.
I dated other podcasts for a little
bit. I never take a break. I'm always here, baby. I'm always here.
You know, I wonder how many people knew that I was doing other podcasts. I know every once in a while I talk about it on here, but that break, we lost like thousands of people during that time. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, just don't talk to your audience for 6 months.
It's like, here's what a podcast is like. And people need to understand this if they're thinking about starting one. Imagine you have a church, let's say with 100 people in it, but you decide not to meet every Sunday. It's when you feel like it. How long do you think those 100 people are going to keep showing up? Not very long.
No, that's the
same way a podcast is, man. You can't just like... willy-nilly, this is what I, you know, like, you got to be consistent.
I mean, over the 12 years, you got to admit, we're pretty consistent.
We were great until you just decided that you needed to be popular and you needed to put out books and be this fancy author. Then
the podcast made me popular. So here's the thing is Pete, you should have a spinoff. Like, it should be like Breaking Bad, but like Better Call Pete. Like, you've got your spinoff show.
Dude, that's what I'm going to call it. That is such a great title. I'm going on GoDaddy right now and buying Better Call Pete. I fucking love that.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not kidding, dude. I'm doing it. You keep talking, bro.
You got it. He's literally on GoDaddy right now.
This
you
is have awesome. I so want that. Better Call Pete.
You have to make the commercial, though, that's like Better Call Saul. You got to make one of those.
Dude, who can we get that does that stuff?
Oh, I know people.
I know you do. That's what I'm asking. Do you remember a guy by the name of Brandon Guthrie?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, man.
I think I do. Why? Did he reach out from...
No, he's a Facebook friend, and I was looking him up. I was like, I thought he was from the Refuge days, and like, he is a baller in my field. Like,
really?
I'm not kidding. Like, a massive baller. And I'm like, wait a second, dude. I thought he was from Refuge. I mean, he might have been back in the day.
Oh, wait a second. Okay, hold on. Oh, yeah, dude, we baptized him.
Okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he got saved when he was there, dude.
I was like, I think I remember, like, I think that's why we're Facebook friends.
No, he was hustling. Like, so he was doing something. And around that time, he started right next to Golden West College was like some business that was getting off the ground. And he was trying to, like, do their marketing. And I told him to talk to you. He probably picked your brain.
I don't remember, but I'm not kidding when I say he is a baller. Like,
dude, he's got like movie star looks and plenty of charisma, that kid. He was a rad kid. I'm not going to tell his whole testimony because if he's a public figure now, his testimony has some dark moments, shall we say. But
doesn't everybody?
Yeah, but he got that's what I'm saying is that that was that church. That church was so rad. But yeah, we in fact, I'll pull up a picture of us. He got baptized on the day where we had the we baptized Tommy. And we baptized.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we baptized Tommy on that day. Melissa.
By the way, I bought BetterCallPete.com.
Did you really?
Yep, it's mine now, baby. Ain't no one else got that.
Better Call Pete. Come on. Dude, how is that not taken? I can use that domain
in so many ways. It's not even funny.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, that's awesome. See, this is why our friendship is important.
It is. No, I posted that my kids got baptized and he liked it, right? He liked the post. And I was like, the name's, I think he's from Refuge Days. And I was like, so I was checking out his feed on Facebook and I'm like, oh my gosh, dude is a serious baller. Like the awards he's won, I know what it takes to win those awards. And I'm like, are you serious?
So I need to reach out to him and make him a new breed supporter.
You need to make him a new breed. Absolutely. A donor. 100%. He could fund your whole thing.
Come on.
You need to reach out to that guy.
Let's go, baby. That's so rad, dude.
Yeah. It is.
That's so cool. Yeah, I've got pictures of his baptism. It pops up on my Facebook feed because that day, that was also when we baptized Eric Young and Melissa Young, Ruben's brother.
Eric is the brother that died?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was one shot by police.
All right.
Wrongfully, I might add.
Right. Well, yeah. Don't get me started. Don't get me started.
I know. Don't trigger Pete. So, and also before the call, like speaking of marketing, I was kind of proud of my little marketing package I was putting together for the Discipology book. What'd you think of that?
I liked it. Did Ryan help you with it?
Chesley Lundy helped
me.
No
kidding.
Yeah.
Well, Chesley's another smart dude, so I get it.
Well, okay. Like this is what you don't realize. Chesley came through the Bivo inner circle. Back in the day.
Did he?
I did not know that. Yeah, like right when I was hiring him, he said, oh, hold on a second. Because he was telling me like, oh, you know, you really impacted me and you really, you know, I've been, you know, he was telling me like I've been following you for years and learning so much from you. He goes and gets the big jump school binder out of his closet and holds it up. And I'm like, no way. He's like, I was in Bivo Inner Circle. I said, no kidding. No way. And he's like, yeah, dude, I was in there. I was on those calls. I'm like, dude, I had no idea. No idea. Dude, it was just some young punk kid on there.
I remember when you made me like lead a call because you're like, I can't be there whenever day we did them. You got to do it. And I'm like, I got to be on with a bunch of pastors. I was so freaking nervous, man. I was just like,
you've done it,
hang up the phone. Don't answer any questions. No questions today, guys. No questions.
Oh, but you killed it, right?
I'm sure somebody died 100%. I'm with you. Anyway.
Well, so what's up in your life, man? What's been going on?
I don't know. Here's my problem, man. All these guys like the Brandon Gunthries that are just killing it. It's because they work. I don't know what it is with work. People who do it tend to have better outcomes. I don't do it. So I'm like, you know, I make a living.
Yeah. I mean, there's a proverb. It says little rest, a little folding of the hands and destruction comes on Pete quickly.
A little rest, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands.
See, I'll just take a little nap, you know, play a little Fortnite, you know.
Dude, did you see those Vicks? Did you see?
I didn't. But last night, you know, you got to understand, like, I'm in bed by 10. I'm asleep. I've been waking up all week at like 3:30, 4 in the morning. Right. Which is no fun. But my brain tells me when it's time to go to bed and it just sleeps. And then it tells me what time it does not comply. But Yeah, I went to bed at 10 last night, and I looked down and saw those, and I was too tired to watch them. But I'm like, oh, there's been some late night Fortnite going on.
Dude, they were some awesome Vicks, man.
Was it you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I couldn't tell if it was Steve-O or you because I was so tired. I was literally falling asleep.
Here's the thing. So Fortnite, you probably haven't played this, but they have a new, you know, like we play Battle Royale. They have a new one called like Blitz Royale. And so it's a really small island, only like 30 people go in instead of 100.
I suck at those.
And so it's like the last 5 minutes of Fortnite. Like that's what the entire game is like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
When it's just like you're going for the Vic. And so those are a lot of fun. Those are a lot of fun.
Do you promise me that next time Kit shows up on there, you'll text me and be like, dude, Knight Rider.
You know, I don't usually look at the store. I mean, if I see it, sure, but I don't usually look at the store.
See, I do. That's my problem.
And I never care about the cars. It's just when I saw Knight Rider, I was like, I have to own Knight Rider.
Dude, the best thing in Fortnite ever is that stinking Christmas shack where you get presents every day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That thing's the best.
It's coming up.
It is coming up. But, dude, I'm already in Christmas mode, baby. Like, normally November 1st, all the Christmas decorations go up in the Jones house. But this year, I'm at Dia de los Deftones. So I will be rocking out with Liberty on November 1st and all day music fest.
Wow. Well, so Luke and I went to a concert last week, I think it was. And
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots.
How'd I guess?
Yeah, his favorite band, it's right? His
favorite, yeah.
And here's the thing, man. I told this to Jamie the next day. I was like, okay, I really don't think I'm a music person. First of all, I was like, okay, I have to listen to these songs all the time because that's what Luke likes to play in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, burnt
he
out.
He sings it. I saw his little music video filmed out front.
He knows the words. Yeah. And then I was like, so, you know, everyone's standing, right? I'm like, at one point I was like, I'm sitting down and I'm just flipping on I'm on Instagram. I'm like, I don't care. I want to go home. I'm tired of being here. It was so funny. I was just like, I think you got to take one for the team next time and you got to take them. I don't know that I can do this anymore. Yeah. I'm not a music guy. That's what I've discovered. I'm just not a music guy.
Well,
now if Tone Loc came back, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, last year, I wish I could relive last year because Idols opened up for the Deftones. And Idols is like this Bristol new punk band that is incredible. And the thing is, I'm old now. I don't know all these new bands. So they'll have bands that kind of right before they blow up, they'll be playing. And sometimes you get some that are kind of big, but it's a wide genre. Like it's all genres of music. So have like these rap bands up there that they just rotate like all these different types of music. There'll be pop up there. There'll be synth. There was this, it's kind of a joke in our house. I think it was called like 1,000 Gecks or 1,000 Geckos or something. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And we just made fun of it and heckled it the whole time. And still to this day, if I even mention that band, Liberty will start cracking up. Because the one guy was in a wizard costume. they were totally stoned. I mean, they were so out of it. And their music was terrible. And it was like once you heard one song, you kind of heard them all. But they were like going around. They thought they were awesome. Like, it was funny as heck, but they were just a train wreck. And I think they had one or two hits. And after seeing them live, I'm like, yeah, this band's not going anywhere. They had one or two hits. That's great. That's as far as it goes. So hopefully they don't come and sue the podcast now. I bet they're listening. All right. Well, we should probably get into today's topic.
Is it Better Call Pete?
Better. Hey, when I need a podcast intro, you know who I call. Better call Pete.
You know, I could use that domain for so many things.
Oh my gosh, I could see it now. It's so good.
Right now, like when people have to have they need to have a Zoom call with me, I use like PeteMitchell.me/chat, right? Now I'm just gonna be BetterCallPete.com.
Dude, just go there. So much rad marketing off this now. You're going to be the next Brandon Guthrie. And I'm just saying that you're welcome. I get a cut.
If only I could be. But the problem is then I'd have to work. And we already discovered I'm not much for the working.
Apparently.
I just want the money to come in without me having to actually go out and do anything.
Okay, so I know you make pretty good money, but I mean,
I don't make Brandon Guthrie money. I can tell you that.
But what do you? Okay, so walk through your day with me before we get started here, because I think this is funny. What's pizza like? What's distracting Pete? What's eating Gilbert Gray?
I hate Instagram with a passion. I cannot stop scrolling. I have found that now I don't even want to watch TV. Like, I just scroll on Instagram. I hate it with a passion.
You got to take it off your phone, dude. I took all that stuff off my phone.
For about 24 hours. And then the shakes, you know what I'm talking about. The shakes are too great. I gotta put it back on.
Oh, man. I took all that off. And now with the book, I'm like, should I be getting on Instagram? Should I go back to X
again? Don't you have people who do that for you?
Yeah, I do actually. But I think, yes, it's funny because what I don't want is I don't want any female attention, right? So not like I'm hot or anything, but I just don't want to interact with females on that I don't know, strange women, right? Like that's never a good thing, right? It's not good in a bar. It's not good on social media. So I have kind of like these boundaries. I talk to my wife and any woman my wife says I can talk to, right? Usually with her present. That's about it, right? I have, if people make fun of the Billy Graham rule, usually see him in the newspapers. You know what I'm saying? Like, for men, the Billy Graham rule is a good rule. So I may even be a little stricter than Billy Graham. I'm never alone with a female. For that matter, I'm never alone with a dude. I mean, if I'm discipling a dude, I'm in a public place, man. I ain't. Like, we're just in a different world than we used to be.
Yeah.
So for me, like, yeah, man, I think what I've worked out is I will start snapping and taking shots of things that I'm doing more. Because I'm just not in that mindset. But when you get a book coming out, you got to do all that. It sucks.
Right.
What I really want to do. And I know this will like put you to sleep real fast. So this will make you rush to the transition. I want to do Substack. That's like a writer's paradise. I'm so into Substack right now.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like Blog Central, man. It's kind of cool.
Cool. I dig it. Well, I guess we should actually get into this topic.
I knew it. I knew it would work.
Great, Scott. It's time for this week's topic.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty. I'm still getting over some sickness, so bear with me, guys. As I get chatting here, it might kind of hurt my throat a bit, but I am going to talk today. I want to talk today about an option for those of you that, because this is where we're at as a church plant. I want to talk about the option of getting out and into a public space, which could be a community center, a school. You know, schools nowadays are very expensive. In California here, they run about $6,000 a month. So stop and think about that, right? We use Parks and Rec, still probably the cheaper option if you can get a community center. But they're onto us now. It used to not be that expensive. Like I think we paid for that school, I can't remember. You probably went down and paid Parks and Rec for us a couple times.
No, I didn't. That wasn't my deal.
I can't remember how much
we paid. Would have gotten us kicked out just like I lost our merchant account.
Yeah, you did. We never recovered from that. So we lost all of our donors like overnight.
Dude, that's the last time y'all asked me to be your treasurer.
Oh my gosh, that was a nightmare. But Langham was kind of in the middle of it too. But the reality is, we're looking at places to meet now. We're kind of weighing our options when you're looking to get out of the house. And really, you got to get out of the house. You're never going to grow in a house. You're not going to get depth out in a community center. So let me back up for a second. When it comes to training a core team, Oh, and that's probably going to be a free giveaway for Discipology pre-purchase is Jump School.
I was just going to say, don't you? Nope, he did it. He did it.
Free access to Jump School. But anyways, what we're going to do is we're looking at all of our options. And when you want to go for depth, you need a home. Right. You can't go for depth. There's just something about being in a living room and, you know, kind of it builds community. A community center, ironically, will not do that, but it will help you go wide. It will not help you go deep, but it will help you be able to take more people in. So as soon as you make that jump to public, you've got to supplement your width with depth. That's why, like in the early church, they had, they met in temple courts, which was their public space gathering. And then it says from house to house. Now there were thousands of them. So they were what we would call a gathered and scattered, church. They were centralized and decentralized. But when you're looking at centralizing, like what we will probably do is gather centrally, either once a month or maybe twice a month. In the intervening weeks, we'll scatter in homes. Now, by the way, this is not going to create a big, large church. We will be a freakazoid church. But here's our plan. Our plan is to grow through disciple making. What we always did at Refuge, we got people there. And the way that we got people there is people got saved and people started bringing their unsaved contacts and friends. And then those people got saved. And then those people brought more people. It was a slow burn. We would have, had we stayed there, eventually become a fairly large church. It, you know, at least medium or decent size. But we had the gathering and scattering going on. So those little small groups that were going during the week, that was the powerhouse. That was actually, we would say, the real church. And so going to, you know, a public space, one of the things that I'm flirting with right now, and I'm doing research, and probably next week we'll get out of the house because right now I'm just researching who has what. I'm looking at community workspaces like a WeWork. And part of what I'm struggling with is if I go meet at the library or I go meet at the school, you can't frequent that place any other time. So right now I'm looking at like a shared workspace because many of them have a room where a bigger group can gather. What I'm looking at is, do you need a conditional use permit? I don't think you do because it's just you're having a meeting. Right? At a sure for your business. So,
you wouldn't need one. No.
No.
It's a business.
No, absolutely. It's a business. It is what it is. And because my business, my office, so this is what I'm looking at doing, getting an office space for New Breed and the church together. I want one that has a podcast recording room, you know, like a studio.
Right.
I want one that has a large mixed, meeting space that I can hire. Because the problem is many of them have a commons area, but if somebody's there working on a Sunday morning, that's not fair to them. So right. there's certain criteria. So it has to have, like, all of them have the boardroom. It can fit somewhere around 10 to 20 people. All of them have that, but that's not going to work for a church plant. But think about it. If they have a bigger, you know, like people use, they go and rent hotel rooms, right? For
I would also talk to the to like the WeWork people and make sure they're cool with it. Because like, if you're doing a service, I mean, they could see that it's kind of weird, right? Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, I would definitely make
sure. No, I'm definitely going to talk to them. I've also got,
like, I don't know how you would do the, like, I don't know how you do music.
There's, you know, also a guy who, he owns a series of panic rooms here in San Diego. And if you go to, like, I went to one of his facilities, he's got a large common meeting area in the middle of it. And I'm looking at that. He's a believer. And I'm thinking, huh? So I'm
starting to get that stuff to me is like where there's so much opportunity. because the space is going underutilized.
Yeah.
Kind of like, you know, we've talked to, man, what was the dude's name? He was a really cool guy. We had him on the podcast and he was a barback. And
oh, yeah, pointer. Yeah.
Alex Early.
Alex Early. Yeah.
And he's like, you know, the bar he was working at was like, hey, do you need a place to meet on Sunday? Because we don't use this Sunday morning. He's like, yeah. And he had church in the bar, you know, vomit on the floors, alcohol everywhere. And I'm like, there is so much potential there. Same thing with smaller churches that are dying, but they have a building. It's like, Do you realize, okay, you're using that Sunday morning, maybe Wednesday night. There are other businesses that need places to meet with people where you could start to become a hub in your community.
Yeah.
Where it's not just seen as the church, but, oh, I go there because I go there for this meeting or that meeting or the next thing.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's so much potential there.
Yeah. So it's funny you say that because that's the easy win for me is a pub. And man, there was a place here called Bagby Beer Company. And now there's something else. They went under, which was really sad because Bagby had the best British ales. Like I'm a British ale fiend. You guys can keep your IPAs, but a British ale to me, there's nothing like it. But anyways, they had three. And so I'm still mourning them.
Do you drink with the Baptist? Huh? No. With the Presby? Absolutely.
I'm a free Methodist. I'm free. Emphasis on the word free. But, you know, ironically, I don't drink that much at all right now. And that's just because I'm getting older and what have you. But the reality, and I'm on a health kick, and I have three book babies. I'm having triplets. You know, you put on, I'm carrying like 25 extra pounds right now. But the reality is, I'm dealing with so much addiction in this church plant that I'm like, that's why I'm not, because like there's a guy I disciple every Wednesday night. And that's been the coolest thing is my discipleship is picking up. Like it's off the chain at the moment, which I haven't discipled this many people since I was a pillar in the UK. And it's been really cool just being out of the book. And I didn't even try, Pete. You've been around me long enough in ministry to know, like, stuff just happens. The second I finish a book, bam, 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 all these doors open. And it's like, okay, now I'm disciple-making three nights a week right now.
Wow.
And just for, like, an hour here, you know, like, I take Eden to dance class, and boom, I've got this window, you know. And by the way, guys, just a little pro tip there. As you have kids and you think, oh, I don't, when you're running kids to events and you got that hour, that's what that hour is for. That's gold to me right now, right? Because like you guys, I'm busy. I have a day job. I'm planting a church on the side, still in the trenches alongside you. But, you know, I have to use that time. You know, I have to maximize my dead space. But anyways, the WeWork, that's what I'm playing with. So I'm going to, if, the other night, I was like, okay, dang it. In order for me to do what I actually think I need to do, I just need to start my own. And that's been a dream, right? Is to start my own business. But I honestly don't have time to run a business.
Yeah, I was like, you already have New Breed.
Dude, I got New Breed. I work for Through the Word. It's like, I don't got time for yet another business. You know, I've got a writing career. I build courses. Yeah, no. So, but I keep thinking to myself, that's the way in an ideal world. If I were only doing the church plant, I would literally start a co-working space and run that church out of it. And in that co-working space, I would also have a cafe that was front facing. I would have a charcuterie, a catering business. I'd have other businesses running in it that would sustain the church plant and serve the community, none of them would be dependent. None of them would have to support my entire nut. Does that make sense? I really want to do this. I just can't be the guy who does it. But man, it's a model that would work. It would so work. It's just time for me. Some people think Paul just worked with his hands, and he did, but he also raised funds. Don't believe me? Check out Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 15. In fact, when the kingdom of God catapulted forward, there was usually a kingdom-minded businessman or woman behind it, like Priscilla and Aquila. If you're going to raise funds, though, do it well. Our partners, Reliant, can help you put rocket fuel in your fundraising tank. I wish I'd had this when I was church planning. But Reliant can partner with you to get you the training and coaching you need to raise that support, as well as provide you with employment services you may need, like payroll, health benefits, and more. To learn more, check out Reliant.org/CPP. So, but I will say on New Breed, the kind of cool thing about New Breed right now is the only thing that I have to do for New Breed now is write and make courses. I've finally gotten to the point
where I thought you were going to say cash checks.
No, I finally got to the point where all I have to do now for New Breed is,
by the way, that's so not the case. Just so everyone doesn't think like New Breed's rolling in cash.
No, our partnerships, but I will say this, Discipleology this year is like, we just had a conversation last night with a denomination, and if this book had been out a year ago, we would have so many contracts with denominations who want to run this stuff. Like, it's fire, man. Like, I've spoken in the last, not the last week, but the week before. Oh, yeah. Last week I spoke at one too. I've been at three conferences in the last 2 weeks talking Discipleology. It's just a lot, you know? It's the buzz right now. And it's super exciting, man. Like, if you guys are fans of the podcast, you already know. And the stuff we're talking about today, like public space, like all that comes into it. It all comes, it's nothing new, but it's just looking at Jesus. I'm rambling now. But the WeWork space, that's, you know, and speaking of beer, coffee, like if you're like, hey, let's go grab a beer. You just grab a beer right there with someone, and you're interacting with people throughout the week, that you're in a public space already. And if you do invite someone to that church plant, they're right there. They're like, yeah, I'll see you here Sunday. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. No, I think, see, to me, it's taking advantage of the times, right? And people, really, because of a lot of the marketing greats that have come before, people are realizing that there's all this untapped opportunity all around them. So like the shared space to me is a big deal. You know, we've talked about this before. We talked about this years ago. Like a lot of churches have all this streaming stuff set up. Do you know how many businesses need to put on events? And if you could stream it as well, they'd be like, you do it. We'll hire you to do it. Now it becomes an income stream for the church, but they're bringing in people from the community. You're just taking advantage of the fact that now people are like willing to look at, it's the Uberification of everything, right? Like,
yeah.
Who takes a cab anymore? You take an Uber.
Right.
Like now it's just like, literally I was in Tampa a few weeks ago and guy picks me up. I don't remember if he was taking me to the airport or picking me up and taking me to the hotel. And he's like, yeah, you know, I just started today. Today's my first day. And he goes, and I'm like, what made you do this? And he's like, I work for the government and they're shut down. So I don't know when I'm going to get paid next. So I figured I better start doing something just to make sure I got money coming in. He's like, and I like talking to people and I like meeting them. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't. I wish you'd stop talking to me. But I was just like, but like, to me, I look at that and I'm like, that's the reason why I'm so excited about the gig economy. If you want to make money, you can make money. Now, will it be as much as your day job? Probably not. Probably not when you get started, right? Like it takes a lot to become a Brandon Guthrie, right? To really figure out how to make money. But can you make money? Absolutely you can. And that's what gives me hope about all that stuff. So I think it's great, you know, and even looking at some of how people are using tech to reach people. Like, we had Chesley Lundy on, I think when you were gone, he and I were doing an interview. Like, one of the guys that I watch on Instagram that I love, this guy, is he's always like, I think he's in the UK, because he's got a slight accent. It's not thick, but he's got one. And he will go on some, you know, like, there's these services where, like, you can randomly talk to people. Like, I don't know exactly how it works, but they'll, like, hook you up with other people and you just talk to them and start, you know, whatever. And so he gets hooked up with Muslims, and he will start to, like, interact with them and not debate them, but that idea, right? Of, like, you know, why do you believe that? Here's really what it says. And, like, and the dude knows the Quran. And so he can go, well, here's actually what it says.
Yeah.
And that's why that's wrong, what you just said. And I love that, right? Because he's taking advantage of where the world has gone. And it's almost like Paul, you know, going to the marketplace and just talking to people. He's doing the modern day version. Yes. I'm like, he is a modern day Paul. And I love that.
Who is this?
It's a dude that I watch on Instagram. I have no idea.
Oh, is it Tommy Robinson?
I have no idea what the dude's name is.
British guy?
I think he's British because he's got a slight accent, but there's a couple of them that I watch on there. Okay. Both of them are British.
Okay. Is he a white guy?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Tommy Robinson.
Could be. I don't know. I'll find him next time he comes up in my feed. I'll send him to you.
Yeah, so... you know, it's cool. Yeah, it's really cool. And using their own scripture to tell them, hey, you know, this is what your faith teaches.
Yeah. And, which they'll say stuff and they'll go, well, actually that's not what it says.
Yeah. He knows chapter and verse. He can recite.
He'll pull it up. He'll pull it up on the screen so they can see it.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not making this up.
He can recite Islamic prayers, like, in Arabic. Like, he's just a working class dude from, I think, he's from Luton, England. He was on with Jordan Peterson. They just had him back on.
Well, these are young kids that I'm watching. So maybe he has been on Jordan Peterson, but I can't see either one of these guys.
Oh, okay.
I haven't been on Jordan Peterson.
Well, so, but anyways, you know, going back to this, WeWorking space, I know that we've been talking a lot about, you know, micro church in homes, and, you know, people think of house church networks. What if you had a community workspace network so that, you know, I'm in Tri-City area. I've got Carlsbad. Carlsbad is it's like a mini Orange County where it's got, all of this pharmaceutical and, you know, business, like, you know, a lot of business people out here. And Carlsbad has a huge medical industry. And so WeWorking space and I'm not talking the brand WeWork. I'm talking about co-working spaces, right? Like those businesses. There's ones that exist just for women. You know, there's ones that exist for certain professionals. Like, they're varied. There's a bunch of them, but there's a ton of them. I just did like a Google search of them, and I actually had AI help me out a little bit. But the reality is, you could have a bunch of micro churches meeting in those, a network that centralizes and decentralizes. Doesn't have to be each one is its own congregation. You could actually have you can centrally gather somewhere. Like, you could rent a high school space once a month, or you could go meet in a park once a month and centrally gather. It costs you like $25-$30 for a public permit, public gathering permit. Like, you can get so creative how you do things. You could gather centrally, then you could scatter. And I mentioned, like, the pulse that we were starting to go to. We're talking right now in our leadership of meeting centrally twice a month, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, and then doing home groups where we scatter into home groups. But we're thinking that the home groups may not be feasible, right? Because you're going to always have people like, I won't go to someone's house, right? Yeah. Like, you could be an axe murderer. I don't know you. It's a little more complicated, but a co-working space, we're thinking about that. It could still be kind of smallish and intimate, but big enough to where maybe you got 50 people. But then on our fourth week will be mission in the community. I just can't really, you know, you go to Refuge Long Beach, right? And it was mission every Sunday. And so we have not found our mission yet. What we've been doing is allowing our people to bring us mission every Sunday. And whatever they bring us, we say yes to. So if at any time someone come to us and say, hey, there's a need over here. Like one of them was a Hispanic family that someone had passed away and someone knew him, a friend of a friend kind of thing. And they said, you know, and they need help at this funeral. Like this family has no money. So we gave a financial contribution towards it as a church. And we just turned up and served. You know, obviously it was arranged like, hey, you're going to have some volunteers. We didn't put a poster up. We didn't. It was all word of mouth. Just let them know we're a church. You don't got to know what church we are. And I literally believe that as you do those kinds of things, the Lord starts moving. And now that person who was in contact with that other family, that opened a huge gospel in for them, right? And I've seen this time and time again, where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. You're not there with some hidden agenda, and you're able to serve, and it is a witness for Christ. Somewhere, some congregation is going to get the benefit of that. Doesn't have to be ours, but Jesus made this promise that your Father who sees in secret will himself bless you. Right? So there's a spiritual dynamic that goes on there. Plus, my people are super blessed when we're doing that. So that's kind of the rhythm. We're getting a little creative, not to be creative for creativity's sake, but the mission always dictates the model. And right now this is what we're rolling with, and it'll adjust. You know, anybody who knows me knows that, I'm going to stumble into whatever we're doing. But it's going to be creative. And the odd thing from what I'm doing now is I'm more liturgical than I've ever been. We take communion every single Sunday now. So whatever we're doing, and even on that Sunday we're on mission, we'll break bread somewhere together and we'll take communion. Like it just, we're just, I'm different that way. I'm a little more confessional in my old age. But that's because I want Christ right at the center of every gathering, you know?
Well, he only said, do this every time you get together. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, he might have meant that, Pete. So we kind of been taking that serious, you know. And man, it is so cool to watch what that is doing to my congregation. Like that, we should just talk about that one Sunday or one podcast.
Yeah, it's you know, it's funny because our church had communion this last Sunday, and that was the first thought that went through my head was, well, Jesus did say, do it every time you get together. And I've been to churches that did it every Sunday. And this one, I don't know how often it is, but it's not, I don't know, once a quarter.
You know what's weird is we never did it in Refuge Long Beach. We would do it in the home groups. And
I remember that's what just made me think when you said that. I was like, I run a small group. Maybe I should be doing that every small group.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, your church might be like, hey, wait a second there, pal. I have to be an ordained minister. Some churches think only ordained people can do
that. I guarantee you, number one, my church wouldn't think that. Number two, my pastor's in my small group. So,
oh, there you go. There you go. Yeah, man, it's great, especially if you got a time of prayer. Just, oh, man. I mean, I it's funny because.
Do you think PastorPete.com is available? Sorry, anyway, go on.
Better call Pastor Pete.
I was just thinking of Reuben Young. Pete's my pastor.
I think we should name it Sacrament Pete.
Oh my gosh.
That's your new thing. All right. Well, hey guys, you know, that's all we got. Do want to remind you guys, that you, no matter whether you're central, you're scattered, decentral, gathered, doesn't matter. Gathering is scattering. One thing you need to make sure you do. Just call Josh Henry over at SimplifiedChurch.com. That was a good one. You got to admit, that was good. That was a great segue. I just said it like I knew what I was doing. It was just coming into your one thing. One thing you need to know, SimplifiedChurch.com, because they are our sponsor. But that's us done, and I got to hop, and Pete's got to jump.
Do you think they still remember they're our sponsor?
They do, because he reached out to me and asked for a video testimonial this week. So, yeah.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice. Cool. All right. Well, wait. Hold on. What's the tagline again? And remember, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
If you like what Pete just said, press one now. If you don't like
totally what, movie phone. Totally.
And if you don't like what Pete just said, press two now. Better call Pete.
Why don't you just tell me the name of the movie you would like to see?
All right. That's us out. See you guys.